He's the one, the only, Perry Seibert from the Michigan Movie Critics Guild, live in studio with the Lucy Ann Lance Show today on Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY. This movie looks incredible.
This is an epic. This is an old school epic, Lucy Ann. This is Christopher Nolan's completely practically shot by all accounts. There's no digital special effects or very, very few in the movie. The Odyssey.
The Odyssey is an ancient Greek epic poem attributed to Homer. It follows the heroic king, Odysseus, as he faces monsters, gods, and perilous obstacles over 10 years to return home to his kingdom of Ithaca after the Trojan War.
After years of war, no one could stand between my men. And home. Not even me.
Matt Damon in the starring role there. All right, Perry, what did you think about The Odyssey?
Okay, so let's get the easy stuff out of the way. This is a giant old school spectacle. And if you are in the mood for that, go. It does not fail in that capacity whatsoever. I have very complicated feelings about Nolan.
Christopher Nolan,
the director, the writer and director of this one, who's coming off Oppenheimer, his best picture winner. He finally got an Oscar. Nolan is not interested in people. Nolan is interested in big ideas, processes, and playing with time in his movies. That's what interests him. These problems are compounded by the fact that Nolan really doesn't like women. He really doesn't like women. There are no positive female characters in his universes, in any of his movies. They are all scary or threatening. It is fascinating.
What about Anne Hathaway?
We'll get to this.
Okay.
We'll get to this. So that is what I always bring into Nolan films. Nolan films are intentionally cold. They always are. And I don't think that Nolan is self-aware enough to realize this, or he doesn't care, which is even worse. His best film is still Memento, his absolute breakout film, his first film made in the States. A wonderfully twisted neo-noir, one of the great films of the 90s, a great indie from the late 90s. I've liked nothing since nearly as much, and he's had blockbuster after blockbuster. He just aims bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this is pretty much the biggest shot he's taken. The film would not work at all if not for Matt Damon, who gives a true movie star performance throughout this thing. He carries this beast on his back for 3 hours.
Does he really?
And he's very good. He's not doing anything spectacular. He's just making this giant thing work, which is really hard to do. He's not asked to do a lot, you know, emotionally or anything like that. I'm not saying that. It's just a star-making performance. I look at Matt Damon. He's holding the screen. He's keeping this humongous epic together. I enjoyed this film very much during the first hour. It's very watchable. They make a very interesting decision. He makes a very interesting decision to have everybody talk very moderny. There's no attempt to make this sound old-timey.
I don't mind that. I know there was a lot of criticism leading into this, but I don't mind that at all.
It works here. It is disconcerting at first to hear his character Odysseus talked about by his son as dad. You expect father least, but no, dad. My dad's coming back. I'm being funny, but it's truly not a problem. I like the way they do this. Robert Pattinson is on board as the bad guy, giving one of the great hissable bad guy performances of all time. He's loathsome from the second you see him on screen, and he's eating it up, having a great time. It reminded me of Tim Roth, who got an Oscar nomination 20 years ago for Rob Roy, doing much the same thing in another very entertaining film. The setup of this is really good. You're into it very quickly. I kept waiting for when it would drag because it is 252, Lucy Ann. And the only reason it's not over 3 hours is that this was shot. I don't know if it was shot on IMAX, but he plans to show it in IMAX screens around the country.
Oh, it was shot entirely on IMAX.
Okay, I was unsure because I saw it in 70 millimeter, not in IMAX.
First film, they say, to have done this.
I don't, maybe. I don't know that that's true or not. But the thing is, IMAX platters, the giant things that they keep the film reels on that it plays, cannot hold more than 3 hours of film.
Right.
That is the only reason this film isn't longer than 3 hours. I want to be really clear.
Well,
about
I saw
that.
Matt Damon talking about how even when you're shooting it, it only will shoot a few minutes and they have to hold their character.
Yeah.
And then when they're ready to shoot again.
Yeah.
They back it up a little bit and then they continue.
And the cameras themselves are humongous. And so you wonder how they got, you do have to wonder how they got some of these shots on the water. It's fabulous. It is technically proficient filmmaking.
And are you telling me there was no CG
very few
work in it?
Very little from what I understand. Nolan really doesn't like to use CGI. He wants to shoot practically as much as possible. Even from what I understand, the Cyclops, which is a very impressive special effect, is, I believe, almost entirely practical. Like, they figured out a way to do this. And it's, you know, like I said, this plays into the spectacle of this, and it's way fun. I will tell you this, Lucy, and this is the snarky positive thing I've been telling people about this film. The third half hour of the 6 half hours that comprise this movie is the best 30 minutes that Christopher Nolan has put on screen since Memento.
Really?
It is an excellent sequence. It is the Circe portion of the Odyssey, if you're familiar with it. And if not, I don't want to spoil it for you. I want you to just experience it.
All right.
Samantha Morton shows up to play Circe. Samantha Morton is one of the finest actors alive who's not really well known at all. She should be much better known than she is. She's one of those people who cannot help but be superb in everything. And it's finally someone... it's finally a character on screen who is truly challenging Odysseus, who feels to be on Odysseus's level. And I don't know if that's what Samantha Morton is bringing as a performer to it. It's partly the way the character is written and the particular trial that Odysseus must go through with Circe. It's riveting, Lucienne. I do not remember feeling that thrillingly alive in a Nolan film since Memento.
Wow.
It's a brilliant half hour.
Wow.
And it's probably reason why I have as much goodwill as I do towards the movie, because I really, really, really hate the last half hour of this movie.
Why?
Because for all of Nolan's great skill as a maker of set pieces, he's a wonderful editor. He is a terrible action director. He is a terrible in-close actor. The Batman fight sequences are terrible. They are blurs of images. I don't know what is happening, and then suddenly it's over and I understand what's happened. This is exactly how he shoots the giant melee that ends the Odyssey and is the it's terrible. I'm sitting at the screen just like, I'm bored. I'm bored because I don't know what's happening. I don't know who these people. There is a major death. There's a major killing near the end of the movie. I'm not going to talk about why I have a problem with it happening, because I'd have to spoil more of the movie. And I don't wish to do that. But the problem is, the guy who gets killed, it's supposed to be a cheer moment. You are supposed to stand up and be really excited that this happened. I don't know who that guy is. I don't remember seeing him before.
Oh. Like, you know,
it is just the fact of the character doing it. I'm being very vague. I apologize, but I really...
Well, does this
to
get to what you were saying, that he's not, he doesn't care about people?
Right. He doesn't care about people.
He doesn't flesh out his characters.
So whenever he talks about home and how much love and how much he wants to get back to fathers and sons, I don't believe it. It's the same problem with Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer does a beautiful job of making you feel the awe and wonder of the atomic test.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff works. Even if you don't share it, I get Oppenheimer's sheer joy and exhilaration of seeing that moment. It's shot... The sound is excellent. Everything about it's great. There are scenes later in that movie where he has these meltdowns giving a speech where he's supposed to be feeling the awe and horror of what he has unleashed on the world, right? And you don't feel that at all, because I don't think Nolan feels it or cares about it. Not that he doesn't care about it. He doesn't feel it. It's not what is central about this. And what's interesting, Lucienne, is this Odyssey is very much about – it's very much a redo of the last half hour of Oppenheimer. It is the story of someone who has unleashed a thing on the world that rips the social fabric of the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much made explicit that he has violated the law of Zeus, which is you are supposed to welcome strangers into your home. And by building the Trojan horse, he has violated that. And so what do? You've ended the way the universe is supposed to work, just as Oppenheimer did. What do you do after that? And this gets a little more towards that. It's, you know, it is better about that than Oppenheimer is, but he still can't shy away from an ending that is so ridiculously pat. It is so there for the audience. It is so there to make it simple that it's like, oh, you don't even have the the tenacity to finish through on this thought because he's really not interested in it as much as he wants to be.
But is it satisfying to the audience?
I don't know. He wants it to be. It was not for me. I can tell you that for sure. I think it's a real cheapo ending. I think it's a really pat. It's a really Hollywood ending for a film that wants to be way more serious than that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a very safe ending for the box office. Which is incredibly disappointing and kind of really hurts the three major characters in the movie that we're supposed to care about. But is there a lot there to like and enjoy? Yeah. Is this going to be around at Oscar time? Yeah. They're going to respect the amount of work that went into this.
Talking about The Odyssey, Christopher Nolan's new epic movie starring Matt Damon. What about Anne Hathaway?
She's very good. She's one of the few actresses. She's the only actress who's worked with Nolan multiple times. There's some people who show up in multiple Batman movies, but she's in one of the Batman movies. She's in this. She's fine. It's a pretty good character throughout for once. And then near the end of the movie, she's Penelope. She is Odysseus' wife.
Okay.
Waiting behind. She is saddled with having to play a number of scenes with Tom Holland's character. Tom Holland is their son. And it's not that Tom Holland is bad here. He's just the worst character in the movie. The son is not a great character. It's not well written. It's very standard. It's very pat. There's no shade there. It's very two-dimensional. But again, Nolan's problems with women follow through with the end of this movie. Penelope is made to be secondary yet again. Is she evil? No. Is she a problem? Only a little bit. as opposed to all other women. Women in his movies are always scary and out to get you. And
I wonder what's behind that in him.
Sex is very frightening in his world. I think because he doesn't care about people. I don't think it's something he doesn't.
How does he get through life?
I don't know. Dear friend of mine, Heather Fares, full credit for describing David Fincher this way once. She said, David Fincher has very small handwriting. It's a perfect description of Nolan as well. Nolan, I don't think he's not seeing people. He doesn't care about people. That's not what he wants to create. He wants to create whole worlds. But worlds are populated with people.
Yeah, aren't they, though? So, Eric, our producer today, Eric Black, sitting in for Derek, you loved that early movie, Memento, as well.
Oh, Memento? Yeah, it's a classic.
Why do you like that one?
I mean, it just kind of... I think what it is, it's like throughout the whole movie, you feel like you're on this one ride and then you kind of realize that you're on a completely different one. You know,
yes.
I think he just kind of makes it so like it wasn't super obvious what the twist of the movie was going to be. And then once you get to the end of the movie, you're like, of course, like, I can't believe I didn't see that. Like,
Is that the case where the ending satisfied you in Memento?
Oh, yes. Memento is brilliant. And remember, Memento was actually written or co-written by Christopher Nolan's brother, and they've had a bit of a creative falling out. And his films have gotten far less interesting since he stopped working with his brother, quite frankly. They've been less. The screenplays are worse. The films are grandly just get more and more ambitious technically. Mm-hmm. But he really, I wish he would work with a screenwriting partner. His best films all do, and his bad ones usually don't.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
And this splits the difference. Look, it's a good movie. It's a summer movie. It's a summer blockbuster. It's a summer blockbuster worth seeing. But is it great? No. It is less ambitious than Oppenheimer, but it is also less problematic. Yeah. Oppenheimer so fumbles that third act. I have real problems with it. But it's good. This wants to just please, and it for the most part does. But could it be better? Yeah. And is Nolan still hung up on the stuff that keeps Nolan from being great? Yeah.
Is Matt Damon going to get an Oscar nod?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how the best actor field looks at the end of the year. I have to see how this looks. If there are, you know, a bunch of really great, genuine, like, ambitious, deep performances out there, he's going to get left out, and that'll be okay. Expect this to show up in the casting awards, though. There's lots of people showing up. You're like, yeah, that fits. Yeah, that fits. Okay, I'm glad they're here. Yeah, that works.
Oh.
Just in keeping with the classic sort of Hollywood spectacle of it all. It's look, it plays. It plays. You have 3 hours of time, but it plays.
And I want to ask you about that 3 hours, because I noticed in the trailer, which is short, that it's very gray, very dark, very, you know, I mean, there's war going on and there's terrible things happening. Is there any brightness to this?
Physically? I mean, there's a lot of outdoor stuff. So you've got that. They're on the water a lot. You know, that's, and the water's beautifully shot. I like the way water looks on large screens. I love when we go through those 3D crazes every 20 years, somebody will shoot a film on water and I always think it looks fabulous. This is no exception. And to know that it's all really real is kind of awesome.
Where does one see this on IMAX?
Oh, I believe the local multiplex has it on their IMAX screen.
Okay.
There are a couple. I saw it. They screened it in Livonia because they have both an IMAX and a 70 millimeter projector. So I saw it. They showed it to us in 70 millimeter there. Yeah, you want to see it as big as possible.
What's the difference between those two?
IMAX is even larger than 70 millimeter. I forget how wide an IMAX frame. When we're talking about 70 millimeter, that's the actual width of the frame that the film is shot on or being projected on.
Mm-hmm.
So if something is shot on 35 millimeter, which is the standard sort of large screen, they can blow it up. They can make it, they can expand it to fit a 70 millimeter frame. So they could show it in 70 millimeter, even if it was shot in 35. It's a big deal that these were shot in IMAX and 70 millimeter.
So does that make it grander looking then?
Yes. Basically, yes. Yeah, I mean, to the point that not a whole lot of people are going to care, but Nolan cares. So he's going to make sure you see that difference. And there are directors who like working on these very big formats.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very simple. Nolan will hate you if you wait and watch this on your phone. He doesn't want anybody to watch it that way. He would probably, if he had the will and power, and he doesn't, he would have this never be shown on a phone. Like, he would not allow this to happen. He doesn't want you to watch this on TV. He wants you to see this in a theater.
Have something in modern times?
This. Sure we can.
Come on.
Sure we can. You're not, that's not what you want from Nolan. Nolan's not interested in modern times. Nolan is one of those people who will never have an iPhone in his movie. He does not want to do this.
I think that's actually a consideration for a lot of directors. They really don't like the phone. They want to shoot period pieces for that reason.
There's this wonderful story that went around about there's a list of like all the truly the considered great modern directors who have not set a film set their film in an era after 2007, the first iPhone. It's true. It's stunning. Scorsese's never set a film after 2007. Tarantino's never set a film after 2007. I'm trying to think if Paul Thomas Anderson did his most recent one does. That's about that's the first exception to that I can think
can
of.
Can we just have a good old fashioned love story? Like not based in 100 years ago.
Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about next week then. We're going to talk about a film that I also saw that the Odyssey is so big we don't have time to talk about two movies today. But we're going to talk about a film that I really liked last year.
Which
that
one?
Is a very interesting love story. It's a film called The Invite.
The Invite, okay.
I would also tell you to check out The Drama. We talked about The Drama earlier this year. That's a very interesting love story.
Okay.
Yeah, they're out there, Lucianne. Hollywood's not going to spend $200 million to make
one. Nolan's not going to make it.
No. Nolan ain't going to make that. And if he does, I kind of want to see how fascinatingly awful that would be.
Yeah.
Kind of want to see that.
Barry Seibert from the Michigan Movie Critics Guild on the air each week on the Lucianne Land Show. Thank you, Eric, for weighing in on that as well. But I definitely want some more modern love story type things.
Yeah, this is not your love story. This is not the love story you
want. I don't
want
to have to think about history and how it all plays out on this on the screen.
We got to remember, this is an adaptation of an epic poem. This is not a history lesson. When the main character is talking with one of the Greek gods, this is not that kind of movie, Lucianne.
It just doesn't do it for me.
It's an epic story about getting home.
Yeah, I'm home.
Exactly. I understand this isn't going to play for you. That's
home
fine.
Home is wherever you are.
That is one way to look at this.
Home is where you make it.
That's right.
But do you still have a home if you've destroyed the world by violating all the known laws that exist to defend, to keep it in order?
And that's the key.
That's interesting.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.